Welcome, Patriots. This is Radio Free Virginia, and I'm your host, Hank Reardon, coming to you from an undisclosed location deep behind enemy lines in the Commonwealth of Virginia. If you're a liberty-loving patriot and not a communist rat, then you're in the right place. Radio Free Virginia exists to bring you the most current and up-to-date information on what's happening in Virginia. I encourage you to visit radiofreeva.com. That's radiofreeva.com. And once you're there, look over the many places you can find this podcast. You can also find us on Facebook. Just search for Radio Free Virginia, and please like our page and share it with your friends. On today's show, I'll be talking about the bills that have been pre-filed and what's being done to stop them. I've spent a considerable amount of time preparing this first episode, and I can tell you, there are almost no good bills. That's right, elections have consequences. So, let's get to it. All right, welcome back. I want to talk about something that I call the line in the sand. And the line in the sand is, we've heard this phrase, I'm drawing a line in the sand. Unfortunately, we're at the point where our backs are against the wall. There's not really anywhere else to go to draw a line. We can't back up anymore. And I'll give you an example of why this is so. So you look at Colorado and California and Maryland, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, and now what's coming to Virginia. In every single one of these places, patriots drew a line in the sand, and what happened? Nothing. The line was crossed. In fact, they brought a big bulldozer and completely obliterated the line. Now, I will say this. We do have a lot of non-compliance, which is good. The non-compliance rate is somewhere between... The compliance rate is somewhere between 3 and 7%. So it's not very high. But that doesn't mean that one way or another, they're not going to get you. So we keep talking about this line in the sand, this thing that we're going to do. They're not going to cross my, I'll take it from my cold dead hands. And we need to start changing the dynamic in the way we talk about how we're going to stop them. What it comes down to is we can't let them move any further. I'm going to talk about communism at some point in this episode. That's what we have. We have communists that want to do things. And the reality is that they can't do those things until they disarm us, because they know we're going to push back. We'll either push back with words, or we'll push back with violence, we'll push back with force, or whatever. We're going to push back. And they want to kill you. It's as simple as that. They will never, ever, ever get what they want unless you're dead. And so that's what these bills are about. These bills are also about paying back the large donors, George Soros' friends, the Democrats, Michael Bloomberg's friends, the Democrats. They have to be paid. They have to pay them back. And on top of that, see, here's the thing too. What we don't understand is we can draw a line in the sand with an incrementalist and push back. We cannot draw a line in the sand with these people. They don't acknowledge that there's a line. And that's why they're pushing so hard. The Alexandria Ocasio-Cortezes of the world are here in Virginia. They're communists, and they want to move forward with an agenda. And they're going to move forward with an agenda. And the frustrating part about that is when the Republicans have had control in the past, they don't move forward with hardly any of their agenda. Under Bob McDonnell, we had the largest tax increase in Virginia history. And it was Republicans that controlled the House, the Senate, and we had the governor's mansion. And so it's ridiculous. All right, so let's start. Let's just do a quick little talk about what this show's going to have. We're going to have a news section, which is going to have the topics of guns, life, depravity, and I'm going to do a little bit of a communist spotlight. I'm going to talk to you about the VCDL. I'm going to talk to you about some upcoming events. The what I call the Freedom Fighter Award, which is every month I'm going to try and find someone, hopefully a representative, who's fighting for your liberty to wrap things up. So let's real quick go into talking about the gun bills first. Let's start with this. If you'd like to keep an eye on the bills, then the easiest way to do that would be to go to Google and just type in Virginia and the word legis, L-E-G-I-S. It's going to take you to the Virginia legislature's website. And it's lis.virginia.gov. But if you just want to Google it, Virginia legis, you'll find it. So let's talk about these bills. And they're not necessarily in any particular order, although I do have the most egregious ones at the top. Now, SB 35, now there's a companion house bill for most of these, or there will be at some point, but I'm just going to go through what I have. The provisions of this section, notwithstanding, any locality may, by ordinance, prohibit the possession or carrying of firearms, ammunition, or components, or any combination thereof in a public space during a permitted event. That's an event that requires a permit. Or an event that would otherwise require a permit. So in other words, this is why this is bad. This is a complete violation of the exercise of your First Amendment rights, free association, lots of really bad things. But what they're saying here in this bill is that a locality, say the city of Fairfax, could demand that, well, we'll give you the permit, but nobody's allowed to have guns at your Get Downtown Festival or whatever it is. And what they're also saying is, if your event should have had a permit, we can then, as a locality, say you're not allowed to have guns there. It's an absolutely absurd bill. So that's SB 35. And like I said, in the show notes, you can find out information about this. The next one up, SB 64, and Lucas, Senator Lucas, has a couple really bad bills. So here's what you need to know if you're going to these bills and to look at these. What you need to know, you kind of have to figure out, well, you almost have to go back and look at what is the current law, because you think that, oh my gosh, they're passing all this stuff. Well, in this instance, I will get to what they're actually looking to change. And in some of it, you see they have lines, things that are crossed out, but what they don't show you is what's already there. And so everyone is freaking out right now about SB 64. And what it would do is amend the section about paramilitary activity, prohibited penalty, yada, yada, yada. Let's talk about what everyone's freaking out about. And to make no mistake, this is not a good thing. I just want you to understand what this bill is really about. Number one says, teaches or demonstrates to any person the use, application, or making of any firearm, explosive, or incendiary device or technique capable of causing injury or death to persons knowing or having reason to know or intending that such training will be employed for use in or in the furtherance of civil disorder. Number two says pretty much the same thing. But it's talking more about the training. So the first one is, hey, anybody that's building bombs or guns or anything else that's going to be used in civil disorder. And the second one says, assembles with one or more person for the purpose of training with, practicing with, or being instructed in the use of any firearm, explosive, or incendiary device or technique capable of causing injury or death to persons intending to employ such training for use in or in furtherance of civil disorder. So let me break this down for you. This is the part that's always been the law. And it was never a problem because this was for, if you're using this for civil disorder, this is illegal. That's not why I train with a gun. That's not why, as an NRA instructor, I train people with a gun. I train for protection of life and liberty. I'm not training for civil disorder, so it was never an issue. This has been the law, and it's been the law, I believe, since the 80s. And my guess is they put this in place for groups like the Black Panthers and other subversive type groups that were doing this. I'm surprised. What I'm surprised of is the bill doesn't just strip out the word civil disorder. So then, yes, now training is illegal. Now let's look at what they're adding. It's number three. Assembles with one or more persons with the intent of intimidating any person or group of persons by drilling, parading, or marching with any firearm, any explosive or incendiary device, or any components or combination thereof. Okay, first off, this last part's idiotic. I cannot march around, walk around with an explosive or incendiary device or components or combination thereof. That's already against the law. This is completely stupid to even have that sentence in there. But let's back up and look at the other part. With the intent of intimidating any person or group or persons by drilling, parading, or marching with any firearm. I'm assuming this is what? They don't want people being able to open carry their rifles? Because, and then who determines what's intimidating? The problem with laws like this is that they're vague and it's open to interpretation by some jackboot scumbag who doesn't understand his oath of office, or by some idiot communist judge who says, well, you were open carrying, therefore that's an attempt to intimidate. So there, this, make no mistake, this is a bad bill, but I just wanted to put it some clarity on it. It's not what a lot of people are talking about. I see these posts all the time on Facebook and other places, and everyone's freaking out about it. I said, look, you know, we've had these laws. The first two parts have already been there. And the third part's definitely bad. But here, let me ask you, if you're in the National Guard, I believe you have to do drill and parade, and you have to march around, and sometimes you're there with your gun. So I don't see an exemption here. Pretty wimpy little group of people up in Richmond and elsewhere. Some of the schools I could think of that didn't want to have the traditional 21 gun salute because it was scary. Is that intimidating? I don't know. That's SB 64. You can find it in the show notes. And here's another one that's quite annoying, because I don't like to be told how many guns I can buy in a month. And so let's look at this one. This is SB 69, Senator Locke, L-O-C-K-E. Purchase of handguns, limitation on handgun purchases. Prohibits any person who is not a licensed firearms dealer from purchasing more than one handgun in a 30-day period, and establishes an offense as a Class 1 misdemeanor. The bill exempts from this provision persons who have been issued a certificate by the Department of State Police under certain circumstances and with an enhanced background check. I don't know what any of that means. How can I get one of these enhanced background checks? I don't know. A lot of these things, you'll read these laws, and there's no functional way that you can exercise this. Law enforcement agencies and officers, they're exempt. Surprise, surprise. State and local correctional facilities, licensed private security companies, persons who hold a valid Virginia concealed handgun permit. So essentially, it doesn't change it for those of us who conceal carry and have a permit. We can still buy more than one a month. Persons whose handgun has been stolen or irretrievably lost, or who are trading in a handgun. So if you're trading in a handgun, I guess you can get that second gun, because that's a little confusing. Purchases a handgun in a private sale. Purchases antique firearms. So this bill is stupid. It doesn't make any sense. There's so many ways around this. It's pointless. But this is one of the few bills that we see that's incremental, that they're attempting to incrementally do this. Because next year, or at a special session, They'll chisel in some other piece of garbage in there. They'll strip out concealed carry permit holders and these last little things, and then pretty much everybody can only buy one handgun a month, unless you're a cop. Must be nice. The next one is SB 70. Here's our friend Lucas again. This is in relation to firearms transfers. So essentially, this is the criminal history record information checks. This is the expanded background checks. The closing the gun show loophole. Those rascals at the gun shows. So this would in quotes close the gun show loophole. And I'm just gonna, you know, I'm gonna read the whole thing. We're gonna read the whole actual section. It's all there. But this is the part that's adding it. This bill removes the provision that makes background checks of prospective purchasers or transferees at firearm shows voluntary. In a sense, making it mandatory. The bill also provides that the department shall have 3 business days to complete a criminal history record information check before a firearm may be transferred. So what they're saying is, not only are they closing the gun show loophole, but they're going to slow down the process so that it's going to take you 3 days, or rather that they can have 3 days, to go ahead and finish that process. Currently, it's instantaneous. They have to do it instantly. This gives them, the state police, 3 business days to complete the criminal history record information check before a firearm may be transferred. In essence, this bill adds a 3-day waiting period, because what lazy government bureaucrat wouldn't take 3 days instead of doing it instantly? I mean, shoot, they'd keep it the DMV for 3 days if they could. So this is a really bad one, especially because of that. If you don't do it, if you don't go through the background check, what's in here? Transferee who sells a firearm to another person without obtaining a required background check is guilty of a Class 6 felony. That's right, folks, a felony. So that means you can kiss all your guns goodbye if you get caught doing this. If you're the one receiving a gun from somebody not doing a background check and you get caught, it's a misdemeanor. If you're a scumbag rat informant, I guarantee you, you won't be charged with a misdemeanor. So that congratulations to you. So this bill sucks. Next up's SB 75. Senator Janet Howell. This one's really bad, and I'll get into detail here in a sec. Let me go ahead and read it to you. Allowing access to firearms by minors penalty provides that any person who recklessly leaves a loaded unsecured firearm in such manner as to endanger the life and limb of any person under the age of 18 is guilty of a Class 3 misdemeanor. Current law provides that any person who recklessly leaves a loaded unsecured firearm in such manner as to endanger the life and limb of any child under the age of 14 is guilty of a Class 3 misdemeanor. Now, I don't know about you, but where I live, the police response time is about 10 to 40 minutes. It's pretty rural here. And I got loaded guns all over this house, and I've trained my boys, 12 and 14 years old, how to use them. So what this is saying is I would essentially have to lock them up. And here's why. It doesn't say if they get them and accidentally shoot somebody or whatever, they use them, yada, yada, yada. It says if you leave a loaded unsecured firearm in such a manner as to endanger, blah, 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 you're guilty. There's no outs here. And I can guarantee you that any prosecutor in especially places like Fairfax or Albemarle County would happily prosecute you for this. You might be okay in a place like, Bedford or Amherst County, one of those places. So, yeah, it's really bad. It's really bad. You know, you're young people. My children should have the ability to defend themselves with whatever means is necessary to secure their life. And this bill, if we follow the law, I got to tell you, I got no intention of following this law. This is another one of the laws amongst all of them that I have no intention of following. I will absolutely practice noncompliance with SB 75 if that stupid thing passes, because my boys are going to be able to use whatever superior force equal to or greater than whatever the threat they're facing is. And I'm not going to say, sorry, boys, hope you can make it to the kitchen knife, or hope you can make it to a baseball bat. Forget that garbage. There's a lot more gun bills that I'm going to be talking about in the weeks ahead. We have SB 15, SB 16. SB 16 is a big one. That's almost a show in and of itself. SB 14. But I'm not going to be able to get to all those and all the other stuff, so I'm going to move on. When I come back, we're going to talk about depravity, elections, constitutional amendments, and what's coming up in future episodes. Be right back.
You are looking at film clips from worldwide newsreels. The title reads, Communist Riots in Tokyo, Japan. A long way off, you think. This communist mob is in Venezuela, right in our own backyard, attacking an American citizen and his wife. A kangaroo court in Havana, condemning hundreds to the firing squad because they incurred the displeasure of Castro and his crowd. This is happening 90 miles from our mainland, less than 10 minutes by jet bomber, less than 5 minutes by rocket missile. And where do you think this is? It's communist-inspired student rioting in San Francisco, USA. Look at those faces. The face of communism in America.
This video was made in 1963, and the communists haven't stopped. They may have changed tactics slightly in that they don't have some master group calling them from the Kremlin, but they haven't stopped. And when you start studying communism, you start seeing their evil hand in lots of places. Herbert Philbrick wrote a book called I Led Three Lives. The three lives were this. He was a spy for the FBI. He was a publishing executive. And he was a card-carrying Communist Party member, high up in the party. And he was doing that to get information about the Communist Party. And so he's got a lot of really good insights. Over the next 3 months, I'll be playing clips from and talking about communism. Communism is evil. I hate communists. I honestly believe that there is no better place but to be dead in a ditch for a communist. And you can't tell me that's not true in history. Throughout history, you can't tell me a time where we wouldn't have been better off if the communist never existed. If the people had pushed back and said, no, I don't think we want that here for us. And we're not going to give up our guns because we know you're going to load us up in a boxcar and ship us off somewhere. So thanks, we'll keep our freedom and you can stuff your communism. But instead, they wanted to talk like gentlemen. They didn't understand what was going down. They didn't play the game that was being played. And time again, hundreds of millions of people were killed in the last century because of communism. So I hate it, and I hate them, and I'm not afraid to say it. We have communists here in the Democratic Party of Virginia, no doubt in my mind, and I'll be talking about that in the months to come. We're going to move on in a second to the depravity section, and I'll explain more about what that is. But before we do, I want to talk about the Virginia Citizens Defense League. The VCDL is Virginia's only no-compromise gun rights organization. I've been here since 2008, and every year that I've lived here, the VCDL has moved the ball down the field and expanded gun rights freedoms that we enjoy here in Virginia. And they've stopped the movement forward of the Democrats with their incrementalist garbage, yes, while Republicans were in control, but they've stopped them, and while Northam and McAuliffe were in control. But the VCDL is a great organization. They have a lot of great members, and they've got Lobby Day coming up in January. But you need to check them out. It's vcdl.org. org, and it's a great organization to be a part of, and I highly encourage you to join. Now let's talk about depravity. And when I say depravity, what do I mean? Well, I'm a Christian. I'm a Bible-believing Christian. I believe that marriage is between one man and one woman. It's not complicated. I believe that societies have been destroyed specifically as a punishment for this type of behavior that we're about to talk about. Specifically, SB 39, same-sex marriages and civil unions. This repeals the statutory prohibition on same-sex marriage and civil unions. I'll read it specifically. It says, these prohibitions are no longer valid due to the United States Supreme Court decision. And it lists what the decision is. Next up, SJ 7 by John Edwards, Senator Edwards. This one is a constitutional amendment. And the way these work is, they have to get it passed. This is the first resolution. They have to get it passed. People have to vote and say, yes, we want this. They then have to do it again, and people have to vote and say, yes, we want this. Then the Constitution in Virginia has changed. So this is a constitutional amendment, first resolution. It says marriage. Proposes the repeal of the constitutional amendment dealing with marriage that was approved by a referendum at the November 2006 election. That amendment to the Bill of Rights defines marriage as only a union between one man and one woman. That's because that's what it is. It prohibits the Commonwealth and its political subdivisions from creating or recognizing a legal status for relationships of unmarried individuals that intends to approximate the design, quality, significance, or effects of marriage, and prohibits the Commonwealth or its political subdivisions from creating or recognizing, in quotes, another union, partnership, or other legal status to which is assigned the rights, benefits, obligations, qualities, and effects of marriage. It's not marriage. It's a fiction. Two men, or two women, or two dogs, or whatever, cannot get married. Marriage is between one man and one woman. It's simple. It's not complicated. So there's those two. We got abortion. I'm also pro-life. Shocker. Bet you didn't know that. So what this one does, SB 68, would take away the requirement for an ultrasound prior to an abortion. Eliminates the requirement that a pregnant woman seeking to obtain an abortion undergo a fetal transabdominal ultrasound at least 24 hours prior to obtaining an abortion, or at least 2 hours prior to obtaining an abortion if the pregnant woman lives at least 100 miles from a facility where the abortion is to be performed. And what this does is, this takes away the requirement for an ultrasound, which I don't think that's a bad thing. Hey, excuse me, ma'am. Here, what we have here is a living person inside of you. You're about to murder. Do you still want to murder this person? Goodness gracious. Now let's talk about some good bills. SB 58. What this does is actually is an attempt by Senator Suderline to essentially reduce the opportunity to gerrymander a district. So what it talks about is your district can't have weird fingers or tendrils reaching out into other areas to make your district more liberal, which is always the way it is. In these districts that they're doing that, almost inevitably, it's to benefit the Democrats. So this is a good bill. We'll see where it goes. Then we have a couple others on elections. Then we move into the elections section of the news here. SB 74, Cree Deeds, you will know him by his deeds. Anti-gun, communist piece of garbage. I believe his son tried to stab him, and I think he had to use a gun to defend himself. I'll have to dig that story up, but I remember something to that effect. Election Day Voter Registration Pilot Program. Oh, what a brilliant idea. Yes, absolutely we should have that, because you're too stupid and lazy to register to vote ahead of time, so we should let you vote the day of. And you know what's going to happen with that? Just what always happens. This happened in Colorado, California, lots of other places, but especially Colorado. In fact, this was a blueprint part of their program to turn Colorado blue. And they used it effectively, and they're still using it effectively. But what it means is that you can show up on the day of, you get, essentially you register to vote, your ballot is kind of set aside. It's counted, but it's kind of set aside in another pile. Now, when it comes down to it and you have 100 or a 100 vote margin there, a little really close race, miraculously, the Democrats with these little shenanigans like this always seem to be the beneficiaries. It's funny how that works. But this is bad. This is really bad. So this is just a pilot program. Hey, let's see if this is a good idea. Let's see if we can make this work. Yes, we care about people participating in the electoral process. Lazy bums that are too stupid to figure out how to register to vote ahead of time. Ridiculous. We have another one, another first resolution. This one. Oh, how would you like to have Governor Ralph Northam for 2 terms? That'd be 8 years, everybody. Or how about Terry McAuliffe? You want to have him for 8 years? Or, you know, with this one, he could actually come back and be our governor again. Wouldn't that be great? So, constitutional amendment, governor's term in office, permits a governor elected in 2025 and thereafter to succeed himself in office. The amendment allows 2 4-year terms, either in succession or not in succession. So, like I said, Terry McAuliffe could come on back and say, hey, I think I'd like to be governor again. But it prohibits election to a 3rd term. Well, thank goodness. Service for more than 2 years of a partial term counts as service for 1 term. Well, at least we got that going for us. And now we'll wrap up the law section here in the news with talking about one of the stupidest bills. This would be the stupid laws section. And this is SB 11 by Adam Eben. Local disposable paper and plastic bag tax. Wouldn't you like to pay taxes? More taxes. That would be wonderful. When you go to the store and you buy things, you know, like when you're buying food and you have to pay tax on that food? Isn't that absurd? Hey, now you get to pay tax on the bags too. Authorizes any locality to impose a tax of 5 cents per bag on disposable paper or plastic bags provided to consumers by certain retailers, with certain bags being exempt from the tax. Interesting. Let me come back to that. The bill allows every retailer that collects the tax to retain 1 cent of the 5 cent tax. Oh, hey, Mr. Businessman, we're going to help you out. You're going to help make all your customers really mad by helping us collect the tax, and we're going to give you 1 out of every 4 cents. Wouldn't that be great? Oh, I'm sorry, 1 out of every 5 cents. Still, it's 1 cent for you. Okay, so let's go back to this section here with the certain bags being exempt from the tax. Nowhere could I find where that's defined. What does that mean? What are the certain bags that are going to be special plastic bags or special paper bags? Maybe a special bag with a LGBT message printed on the side. That's an exempt one. Or how about a communists are great. Join us for the Communist Day Parade here, our little May Day Parade. That'll be the special exempt bag. Or maybe it's all schools are wonderful and no government school could ever do anything wrong, ever, right? That's the special bag. I don't know. You use your imagination. You might as well, because it's not defined in here. Not that I could find. So that's it. That's it for the news. So that's it. That's it for the news. Next week, I'm going to be talking about the Second Amendment Sanctuary County movement, specifically talking about what the resolutions are, what the resolutions could be, and what the resolutions should be. We'll be talking about who's leading this movement, who's opposing this movement, and see what we could do to make it better. I know that you're all very interested in this. A lot of people have talked about this. I'll be very interested to see what happens. We've got some big meetings coming up. And Bedford on Monday night has a big meeting where they're going to be voting, hopefully, on doing this in Bedford County. And let's see if this resolution has some teeth that most of the others don't have. And I'll be talking about that in detail. So please tell your friends, share this podcast with others, like and subscribe it, share it on Facebook, everywhere you can. Help us get the word out to make this thing as big as it could be. I'm going to end this podcast with what I call the Freedom Fighter Award. And tonight's Freedom Fighter is Nick Freitas. If you've seen Nick Freitas speak, there's just something not politician about him. It's pretty awesome. And then you start learning about Nick and you find out he was a Green Beret, which, look, I never served, but I've done a lot of reading, and these dudes are next level. Nick Freitas understands the Second Amendment. He understands that it's about shooting tyrants in the face. That's what it was there for. That's what it is there for. And it is not something that gives us our rights. It is something that is meant to tell the government, hey, you can't touch these. Nick was at one of these Second Amendment Sanctuary County meetings in Orange, Virginia. And Matt Gottschalk, sorry if I pronounced that wrong, got some video of Nick talking to the crowd afterwards. I believe it was afterwards. And this was just a day ago. You got to hear this. I've edited down some of the applause and stuff, but Nick's a great guy. I want to thank Nick for just being a fighter, being a freedom fighter for us in here behind enemy lines. And I'm going to end with this. Thanks for listening.
One of my colleagues, he once said that, well, if you need 30 rounds to hunt, you suck at hunting. And I said, so I responded, if you need an unarmed citizenry to govern, you suck at governing.
That's right. Yes, sir.
But here's one thing I want to emphasize. I've worked with the Orange County Board of Supervisors now for 4 years. I think you've got some real good people in there. And the reason why I'm glad that you're here tonight is because one of the most important things that you can do is when they've got to make a decision. And I know it's not a difficult decision to us, right? But they've also got to look at the fact that there are people in Richmond right now threatening localities. Threatening localities with state funding and everything else if they do this. And so this is part of the process where you come alongside your local leaders and you say, look, we have your back. We have your back. We're not going to trade our freedom. We're not going to trade essential liberties, essential civil liberties, for a couple crumbs that Richmond tries to throw away. Right? That is really what this is about. So encourage these guys. Encourage them to stand strong for our Second Amendment rights. Encourage them to stand strong for your right to be able to defend yourself. Encourage your local law enforcement that are here that are trying to navigate all this, because it's a crowded room. I want to emphasize one more point. The reason why I think you're all here tonight, the reason why I'm here tonight, is because I've seen what happens. And I don't just mean reading history. I mean, I've seen what happens when I have to deploy to war zones, right, where a civilian population has been disarmed and left at the mercy of whatever comes next, whether it's an oppressive government, whether it's criminal organizations, whether it's terrorist organizations. Right? Not in this country. A fundamental component of being a free person is being able to defend yourself and your family. And I'm never going to have it said. I'm never going to be in a situation where I couldn't defend my wife, where I couldn't defend my 3 children, because a government came in and told me that they were responsible for my security now. We all know that's a promise they cannot deliver on.
Oh, that's right.
And we see it in every place where they try to do this and where they try to implement it. The people that are hurt by it are not the politicians with armed security. It's not Hollywood elites that live in these gated communities with 24-hour security services.
Yes, sir.
The people that are hurt by it are people that are living out in community. It's the single mother that just got up there and testified and said, I lived out in the country with my kid. What was I supposed to do? Wait 20 minutes for law enforcement to be able to show up to defend myself and my children? We heard excellent testimony by a former law enforcement officer in the House of Delegates, whose husband was coming in and trying to beat his wife to death. And she called law enforcement as soon as he started pounding on the door. And he goes, and I was lights and sirens the whole way there, breaking every land speed record you can imagine. Took me 30 minutes. But because we have a Second Amendment, but because we have Article 1, Section 13 of the Virginia Constitution, because we have an inherent right to defend ourselves, she didn't get harmed that night.
That's right.
Now, he did, but he had it coming. Right? And that's one of the most, as you're making arguments to your friends and neighbors, because there's going to be some people that think all this is a good idea. One of the things that I want to encourage you to bring up to them is not only do about 500,000 to 2 million Americans every year, depending on the numbers, use a firearm in order to defend themselves and never become a victim in the first place. But one of the unique things about a firearm, aside from every other weapon out there, a firearm gives a weaker person the ability to defend themselves from a stronger attacker.
That's right.
So when you take away that right, when you infringe on that right, when you make it harder for that vulnerable person to be able to defend themselves, have you made them safer or have you made their attacker safer?
That's right.
And it's not just that that has bad social consequences. That's immoral.
Amen.
It is immoral when your government is the one standing in between you and your ability to defend yourself. So you being here tonight has a huge impact. Don't you ever doubt it. I was on the phone with state legislators from all over the country right now. We were talking about legislation that we were going to carry. And they're asking me, what is going on in Virginia? I said, you are seeing the beginning of something that I don't think anybody anticipated.
That's right.
You are seeing the beginning. Because I think people have been awakened to the fact that if they're going to come after your gun rights, they are not going to stop there. They are not going to stop there. So the fact that you're being here tonight, you're not just defending your Second Amendment rights. You're defending all of them.
That's right.
You're defending all of them. So thank you very much for doing it. And thank you for proving. Thank you for proving. Because Dick Sasslaw, the Democrat senator that dropped a lot of these gun confiscation bills, when he was asked about this, he said, well, I'm sure some people will be upset. The elections have consequences. Y'all showing him what the consequence looks like in the Commonwealth of Virginia when you try to disarm free people.
That's right.
Right? Because it's not just bad policy, it's immoral. It's wrong.